Flying Cool Tech, October 7, 2005. Hey y'all, how are you? I'm Larry Skukon, your host for this edition of Flying Cool Tech. Hope you'll join me on the walk home today while we talk about the Olympus WS200S digital voice recorder. It has really cooled off here in Louisville overnight, and I'm glad it did because it had gotten hot again. Go ahead, little buddy. We're going to cut through the grass here and down this big hill. I've got my rain jacket in my little backpack because it was sprinkling this morning, but it's quite nice now. Actually had to revert to long pants this morning though, so that's a good sign. At least say that now, we might not be saying that in January or February. Be complaining about the cold then. Before we get started on the WS200S from Olympus, which is, by the way, what we are recording on now with the standard binaural microphones, just wanted to take a moment to say that I'm really impressed with these career profiles that we've been getting. And I had a meeting last week, maybe it was the week before even, with a nice young lady at the University of Louisville who is looking for a doctoral dissertation subject. Good boy, little buddy. Let's go left. That's it. Good dog. And she was thinking, well, several things, technology and tests and assessments, or the new NIMAS legislation and its implications. So I gave her the Flying Cool Tech website as just a place to check out and get a little background on. And she got really interested in podcasting and some of the benefits or implications that this media could have. And you know, she was a teacher over at the Kentucky School for the Blind, so. One story she related to me was, you know, how valuable this kind of thing can be to provide concepts for kids. And one example she was giving was that, you know, one of the kids there was reading a story about going on a boating trip. And he really never had been on a boat before. But with this medium, you know, you could actually do what we're calling a sound scene tour and give the kid at least, you know, it's not going to be like you're out on the boat rocking in the water or anything, but it's some pretty realistic experiences through audio that could really have some benefits for kids. And obviously she was talking about the career profiles too, and how, you know, they could be inspirational. It's probably not the word we're looking for. Good boy. But to give kids an idea, you know, that there are successful blind people, and a lot of them. And, you know, as Mary Emerson was pointing out on the listserv, it's amazing the variety and the, I don't know what that was we stepped on there, little buddy. It's amazing the wide variety of careers that people do have and the accomplishments. And I just want to encourage more of you to contribute. And, you know, even those of you who have already contributed, if you would like to add more, you're certainly welcome to. Tim Cross touched on a subject, when did we put that in? Yesterday or the day before? His career profile. You know, a career, two things. A career isn't really necessarily something that you have a life plan for, as he so aptly pointed out. But what kind of struck an interest with me too is this idea of relationships. You know, he had some good points. Hey, how you doing? About the support system for the person affected by the trauma or what have you, and the partner in that relationship. And I think there's some fertile material there to explore. Also, the whole idea of the kinds of issues that come up in a relationship with a sighted person and a blind person together, or two blind people together. They both have, you know, some really interesting interesting aspects that one could learn from, study, learn from. So, I don't know the best way to go about getting something like that started, and, you know, what aspects of a relationship. I don't know. This is just sort of a raw idea I'm throwing out there. But I think it would be a very interesting one. And while we are talking about podcasts in general, I want to also mention that Jonathan Mosen's radio show, I just saw yesterday where he's announced that he's got all the parts, I think kind of like what we're doing, instead of putting the individual pieces together into a show, he's made a second feed with the individual pieces. So that might be worth subscribing to. Well, I'm sure it would be.
Walk sign, Frankfort Avenue.
Good boy, little buddy. Also, we had a really good mention, well, a good piece of the introduction to the Digital Media Cast Experiment podcast was about Blind Cool Tech. So that was kind of fun, and it was kind of neat to listen to his perspectives on accessibility and how podcasting affects, not just affects blind people, but how we can use it. So check that show out. And by the way, he does have a Michael Carino is the guy that's doing them. He's got an excellent series started on how to start your own podcast. And he's got, he hasn't got to the part about RSS feeds yet, which just seems to be a stumbling point for a lot of people. And it wasn't that big a deal for me because I'm already familiar with XML, but I know a lot of people, especially non-techie types, are not going to be interested in XML and don't really care. And we definitely have got to find an easy way to do this for folks like that. And Jeff Bishop put up a good message the other day, pretty much saying that, going behind that car, good boy, pretty much saying that, you know, this whole idea of the individual items for an RSS feed really lends itself more to a model where the individual items, these being podcasts, are more suited for, you know, a database scenario where you take the elements from the database and build your RSS feed from those. And he's got a good point. But what we really need to do is make it so that it's transparent to the non-technical person. Good boy, little buddy. Letting Jake, I guess I didn't hear a train. That's good, because I'm that it, little buddy? And, you know, I don't think it would be hard to devise a system that would not require knowledge of HTML or XML, or specifically RSS-flavored XML. In fact, pretty much this system that I'm using is, I mean, it took some knowledge to get it set up and written the way it works, but I think with a little refinement, this could actually turn into a fairly flexible way to do it. And if you haven't seen how I do it, I've got a demonstration of it in last Saturday's show. I think it was called Feedback 05 SEP 27, maybe? Whatever last Saturday was. So, you don't see me writing any XML code or any HTML. I'll go into that a little further on another show, because there actually was some HTML that I wrote that gets generated at the header and the footer of the page, but you know, that actually could be generic as well. And let's see, what else about... I think that pretty well covers it. Got plenty of material for a feedback show that we'll probably do tomorrow or Sunday. I'm constantly amazed and very pleased about the number of submissions that we are getting. I was out a few days ago, and then next thing I know, I had 6 or 7 of them. So I think, to my knowledge, I've got 3 in the wings right now, besides this one, of course. And these are ones that people have already submitted and are just waiting to be posted. I try to spread them out a little bit so we don't hit you with too many at once. And I've got to, honestly, I've really got to automate the process of using that R-Media publishing tool, because that thing is becoming a drag for me. Other than that, you know, there's no really repetitive tasks in this whole process. Well, there's a couple little things, like entering the URL I can do automatically, too, that I'm not doing yet. But those two little pieces right there, and really the entering the URL part, I think it's, I could probably spend a half an hour on it and have that done automatically for us. All right, let's talk about the Olympus WS200S. And I guess one way we can do this is to compare it with the Olympus DS2, because they both are very high quality digital recorders, and they both have a USB 2.0 interface. Interestingly enough, this one doesn't come with any software, which is fine by me, because I don't like the software that comes with the DS2 anyway. We'll start out by saying that the DS2 has 64 megabytes of RAM, and this WS200S has 128. I will also say that there's another model called the DS200 without the S, which just means that it doesn't do stereo. I assume the S stands for stereo. The other differences in the two are that the DS2 in its highest quality setting gives you about an hour of recording, and this one gives you 4, which I don't understand either. I meant to get more information on this, for the last week, and I just haven't had time to do it. It seems like since you've got double the memory, good boy, that you would only get double the time. And I thought maybe they were talking about, you know, in stereo or in mono you would get 4 hours, but actually in mono you get 8 hours. I'll also say that there is, Donna Slater sent a nice press release from Olympus saying that there's now a WS320 that's actually got a gigabyte of RAM in it. Does, I can't remember how many hours, substantially more. And it also plays MP3 files, which is interesting. I consider these Olympus players, these Olympus digital recorders, much. Let me push this button. Much more usable than the Eye River. I mean, these were made to record, and the Eye River just kind of, well, I won't say it does it as an afterthought, but its primary focus is playing. Good boy. The 200 WS200S, much, much smaller than the DS2. And that's both good and bad. The size is nice to carry in your pocket, but the controls are not nearly as distinguishable or as easy to use. This unit has an odd shape. It's wider than the DS2 from left to right, but much thinner and shorter. It's probably about a quarter to a half inch longer than a pack of cigarettes. A very small device. And the controls, instead of being on the flattest, biggest surface, are actually on the left edge of it as you hold it in its operating position. And on that left side, and they are very small buttons again. Fortunately, the unit beeps to let you know what's going on. And the default was to have the beeps on. This guy gonna wait for me to cross, or, well, that guy even backed up. Thank you. On the face of the unit, on the flat side, there are two slide switches. One is the traditional hold switch, which the DS2 had as well. And that's primarily so that you can start it recording and put it in your pocket and be ensured that none of the other buttons are going to affect your recording. The other slide switch on this unit is an on-off switch. And I noticed it does take it a second or two to come up. It beeps to let you know it's on and ready to go. And then on the back face, completely opposite of these two slide switches, are three tiny little round buttons. One is a menu button. One is, an index. I hadn't used it much yet. And the other is a delete button. So we went back to the simple way of deleting files on this unit. So you hit the delete button twice to delete the current file. I think I mentioned when I reviewed the V90 back a few months ago that these have an odd characteristic that when you get through listening to a file, it automatically moves to the next one. So you have to be careful about what you're deleting. Once you get used to that and know about it, it's no big deal. But you do have to be aware of it. Now, the controls on the left side, the top one is record, below that is stop, then play, fast forward, rewind, and then a rocker switch for the volume. On the top of the unit are two 1/8-inch jacks. One is for microphones, one is for earbuds. The one closest to the controls on the left side is the microphone jack. I have a sample of a recording in a quieter room than this, of the mic on high sensitivity and low sensitivity. I keep it on low sensitivity. I found that unless you're recording something really quiet, that's pretty much the way you want it. And you'll see from this clip, which I really probably could insert right here.
I see nothing.
Okay. We're making a test recording on October 4th on the Olympus WS200S using the binaural microphone set to microphone high sensitivity, and we have deduced that automatic gain control is always on.
Well, let's find out.
Well, let's, make some noises then.
We'll see if it's on or not.
That really gives some echo in this room, especially if you do something like... Well, no, mine didn't. How about some key drops, Big R? You got some keys on you?
Well, you think I'm going to do that? I'm going to wind up bending one of my keys.
And this thing is really interesting in that it pulls apart and it doesn't need power. I guess it gets its power from the USB when you plug it in.
Yeah.
I thought that was very cool. One battery, 4 hours of record time on stereo high quality.
Nice.
8 on mono high quality.
Is it AAA or AA?
AAA. The DS2 uses 2.
Hmm.
This one, I believe, was about $100 more, though. Do you remember, Raj? Wasn't it about $200?
I have to look. I don't remember. Hopefully, it'll do something we really like for $200. What I'm looking for is something substantially smaller than the R1, but equal or greater quality.
And this one is not that. This should be high quality. I think it's going to give us 128 WMA files.
If I get something to do PCM,
yeah,
and let you connect... really good microphones, have really quiet preamps, quiet built-ins, and be small enough that you could digest it without too much trouble. That's what I'm looking for. And run for 8 hours.
Plus have TTS on it and all the menus
right.
Be accessible. Sounds like we ought to make a book port that way, huh, Big R?
Yeah, really. Okay, it says the input level can be adjusted on this recorder. When you connect the recorder to an external device, execute a test recording and adjust the output level of the external device.
Well, that's if you're recording from line end, then.
That's apparently the only time.
Hmm. I wonder if it handles mic. Like, we might not be recording anything right now.
I wonder.
Hopefully it has bias current and all that such. To
well, I guess we should find out.
Crank up those binaurals, yeah.
Let's plug it in here and see. That's a good point. I'd hate to be talking for nothing.
Right.
I had it locked, which is another feature I like of these. So you can actually lock it so that you can put it in your pocket and not have to worry about strange things happening. Okay, now we're recording
binaural low sensitivity
on the highest quality stereo. This again is the WS200S. Very nice. Weird looking little recorder.
Yeah.
You wanna
small.
It is. You want to do some...
I'll shake him instead of dropping him.
So. Oh.
I don't like to bend down and pick him up either.
I don't know. I like recording your grunts. What other loud noise can we make in here?
Let me stop my foot. Not very loud, was it?
Hmm.
You don't have any hardback books.
No.
Wow, there's a loud noise. Jeez.
How about
Yeah, there you go.
I'll pop.
Alright, let's try that. And you'll notice that in the high sensitivity setting you can hear it. I guess the word I use is pumping. You can hear it. You can hear the algorithm. It kind of leaves some odd artifacts to the recording. But it would be
good for recording in a low noise situation. The menus, when you press the menu key and hold it down for a second, it always does start in the same place, so if one wanted to, you could learn to change some settings. Fortunately, I'm pretty darn happy with the setting we've got it on, where low sensitivity on the mic. There is no gain control whatsoever on any of the Olympus recorders that I've seen. They're all automatic gain control. This one, yeah. So, that makes it easy. I think when we do some more podcasts of those training sessions, in fact, using the iRivers, we're going to start using the internal mic and its automatic gain control. Now, I saved, well, I should also tell you that this runs on one AA battery, and I don't know how many hours yet you can record with it. I recorded our bowling the other night just as a test, and it came out really well. The battery access door, I could not discover how to use it without getting some sighted help for the first time. The end opposite of the jacks, the bottom, in other words, slides off to the right. And just enough to let you slide that one AAA battery in there. Let's see, I'm trying to think if there's... Let me look on here. I'm trying to think if there's anything I am missing. Tell you about. Well, alright, I've been saving this part. The right side of the unit is a little thicker than the two-thirds. See, the right probably might be a little more than a third. Almost a half, in fact, is thicker than the left side. And you actually grasp the thick part and the thin part and pull in opposite directions toward the top and the bottom, and the thing comes apart. And what you have in your right hand in the thick part is the battery and just the housing to connect the other piece to it. What you have in your left hand is the controls and a USB port. Very, very clever design. So, since I told you that the battery's in your right hand and your USB's in the left, you can assume that when you connect this to your PC, it's taking its power from the USB on the PC to be able to look at the drive. And it does show up just automatically as a disk drive. In fact, like I said, there's no software shipped with it. I have not found the manual yet. I must admit I only spent about 5 minutes looking for it, and I'm honestly not sure that I really need it or want it. Although I did discover a few things about the DS2 from the manual. It is USB 2.0, of course, and it comes, the unit comes comes with a USB extension cable, because what happens is there are some computer cases around the USB port where they, the configuration of the case of this and the case of the PC won't allow you to plug it in. So it comes with an extension cable, so you can plug the cable into your PC and then plug this into the extension. One of the most clever designs that I've seen on anything. Very, very cool. And I'm especially looking forward to the 1 gigabyte version of this. In fact, I was talking not too long ago about how that's exactly what this device needs, and I would also love to see removable media on it, but actually, if you've got a gigabyte, that's probably enough recording. I can live with that. In fact, unless I discover something negative about this, I'll probably switch to using this exclusively. Unfortunately, it does record, like I say, in WMA, 128 kbps, 44.1. So the quality of the recordings is quite high. It's just that we prefer to distribute the podcast in MP3 format. And I don't know, that maybe we should think about that. But for now, that's the way we're doing it. Good boy, little buddy. You're a good dog. Man, the traffic out here is horrendous today. I was going to do this podcast on the way to work this morning, but for some reason, it was unusually light traffic. Very nice and quiet out here, kind of like on, very much like on Saturday morning or Sunday morning. I'm just glad that the speed limit on Frankfort Avenue is not 50. And the sidewalk is nice and wide, so I feel somewhat safe and comforted by that. Hi, how y'all doing? Now, back to the Olympus WS 200S. It has the same feature that the DS2 has that Mary described to you, where, let's see if we can catch this train. Catch it as a ride in it, but catch it as a way to make sure we're not clipping and to test the limiting. Alright, I'm going to go ahead and head on. It has the same feature that Mary described, where you can press the play key and increase the speed. You get what's called time scale modification, so you actually get a faster playback rate. Without pitch distortion than normal. Now, I remember also reading something in the DS2 manual about using the fast forward and rewind keys within 8 seconds of starting a recording to do something. It couldn't be adjusting the recording level, though, because I don't think there's a way to adjust the recording level. But that's something I need to check into. And if any of you good listeners out there has that information, do let us know. I'm pretty darn sure this manual is available somewhere on the web as well. In fact, I did see a reference to it. I think it might have been on the Amazon site. I never could get to the specific link to actually download the file. All right, we're coming up to Grinstead here. Very busy intersection. There's a T intersection that's controlled with a stop sign. Hi. I used to have to cross Stilts when I lived. I used to live about four blocks further on down. That was a job. At least this is a controlled intersection here. And I couldn't cross it ahead of time because there were no sidewalks on that side of the road, and it was a very, very steep hill to walk on. Good boy. That, I believe, is a fairly good representation of the Olympus. What's the matter, little buddy? Somebody's recycle bin, I guess, is out in the sidewalk. That, I believe, is a pretty good representation of at least what I know so far about the Olympus WS200S. Very nice machine. I guess I will have to have more experience to let you know how how I get along with these controls. I've already missed one recording because I'm using this. I sort of I'm letting it double as my note-taking device that I use to like record debit card purchases and so forth, and also to do the podcast, which is good when you can use one machine for more than one thing. Very happy about that. Let's see, I need to grab my recycle bin. Somebody's car is parked in front of my house. I don't know who that is. Let me go ahead and close, give you our contact information while I go put this in the garage. If you would like to call our audio comments line, leave a message that we'll play on the air, you may do so at 206-984-9203. That's 9203. Well, approach. Our email is blindcooltech@gmail.com, and our web address is blindcooltech.com. Y'all have a good one, and we'll see you next time.
Ah.
Hey, Shelbo.
Your hair.
I am here.
I said, whoa, your hair.
Oh.
Your hair.
Hey, Linda Lou. Okay, how you getting there?
Rachel.
Oh, hey, Rakes.
Have fun with Marley.
Who, me or Rake?
You.
You do that look. You're
free of her tomorrow.
Where is, I like having her.
No, where? I got her next what, Friday?
You what?
I don't know. I have her next Friday or next Saturday.
I don't know. One day, let me know.
Figure it out tonight, let me know.
Okay,
well next Saturday is when I have to work.
Next Saturday.
Yeah. How are you, Rex?
Good, how are you?
Good, good.
Let's go.
Where is Mars?
Not here, I'm
here
to play in.
Hi, Mars.
Bye, I love you.
Bye, y'all.
Don't fall asleep on her.
Hey.
It's not, if you put Elmo on, you can go.
wasn't open.
Hey, where is Elmo? Can
it's
you put
in
it
in
here?
In the one in here.
In your bedroom.
Go start it for me. Because I honestly don't know how to do it.
Bye, Daddy.
Which is a shame.
Mommy, it feels good outside. Mm, why are you gorgeous? Sweating it?
I'm hot. What do you got on your shirt back there?
About 8
flowers.
A what? Tornadoes on it.
Tornadoes? What?
I love you.
Love you, Rex. What you doing this evening?
I called into work because I was tired. So I'm going to come in. Like, I've been promising this guy because I feel so bad for him. He's our supervisor, so that everyone screws over. And I was like, well, since I called in last week, I'll come in and help you Friday late, you know? I'll, like, stay late. So I didn't come in Friday. So I'm going to still come in and help him get things done towards the end. So I feel bad.
Okay.
So I'm going to do that.
Well, that's nice of you.
Yeah, I shouldn't have called in, but...
Hey, say hi to our podcast listeners.
Who's that?
This is Rachel, my youngest daughter.
You just had them conversate that, what I just said?
Mm-hmm.
It's all good.
It is.
Don't sue him. Your hair's long.
Yeah, I can sue you for this, Dad.
You going to sue me?
Yeah. You publish this.
I won't have anything for you to inherit if you sue me.
I'll take that tight computer.
Daddy, we didn't inherit anything anyway.
That's true.
Love you guys.
Bye.
I'll be using that computer pretty soon. I'm just playing. Give me home.
Now I've got Marley next Saturday since you work.
Okay, good deal.
All right, love you.
Love you, Rick.
Hopefully I have my car.
Yeah, what's going on with that?
Oh, it's already on the way to Frankfurt
again. Okay. Good idea. Bye. All right, let's go let the dogs out. And let's see, I think that's all I need to tell you about the WS200. One more information about contact info. We have a new email list, which you can subscribe to by sending a blank email to blindcooltech-request@freelists.org and put subscribe in the subject line of your message. All right, that's it for us. Y'all have a good one, and I sure enjoyed talking with you.